All right, we're going to get started this evening, and we're going to continue on in our study that we've been engaged in on Wednesday nights of living faith from the book of James. If you recall, those of you who have been with us, in Acts chapter 8, the Jerusalem church was scattered due to persecution at the hands of Saul of Tarsus. People were losing their houses, they were losing their jobs, they were losing their lands, and even their lives. And so those early believers were scattered into the four winds in a desperate attempt to save their families' lives. And it is during this time of scattering and hardship that we're told in Acts 9:32 that Peter and likely the other apostle elders of the Jerusalem church were going here and there among them all ministering. In other words, since the congregation was dispersed and couldn't come to them, the elders were going to them. And this book of James reflects that early pastoral work among the dispersed Jerusalem church. As our author James, the half-brother of Jesus, and most likely the head elder and pastor of the Jerusalem church, sends out this letter to his suffering and scattered congregation, encouraging them to keep the faith and demonstrate living faith in the midst of all of their trials and tribulations. And James has been slowly walking us through different elements of this in his book so far. He's shown us how living faith responds to trials, how living faith responds to temptations, and currently, James is in the middle of teaching us how living faith responds to truth. So you can discern the legitimacy and maturity of your faith by how you respond to the Word of God, because living faith responds differently to the Word of God than dead faith does, and James is going to roll that truth out for us over the next couple of weeks on Wednesday nights. You can discern the legitimacy and maturity of your faith by how you respond to the Word of God. And so how does someone who has living faith and who has been born again by the Spirit of God, how do they respond to the Word of God when it is given? Well, James told us last Wednesday in verse 21 that someone who has living faith receives the implanted Word, which is able to save your souls. They embrace it. They receive it. How? Well, first and foremost, by listening to it. As verse 19 states, let everyone be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. So the first response that living faith has to the Word of God is that it listens to it. It doesn't argue with it. It doesn't get angry with it. It listens to it. If you're arguing or angry with something that God's Word says, you will not be receiving it. And so the first step to receiving the Word of God is to humbly put yourself beneath it and to just listen. As we read in the Old Testament, speak, O Lord, for your servant hears. But if that's all that you've done, if all that you've done is listen to the Word of God, then you haven't truly received it, because the Word of God is to be more than just heard. It is to be obeyed. And that's what James is going to show us beginning tonight in verse 22. That we receive the Word of God with living faith when we do it. When we do more than simply listen to it, but when we actually obey it. And in our few moments that we have together tonight, we're just going to look at how James introduces that command to do the Word there in verse 22 of James 1. So with that in mind, let's read our passage of James 1, 22 through 25. James writes these words, but be doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror, for he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. This is the word of God, and we can thank him for it. Let's do that tonight in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. We pray that you would just in these next few moments just lead us in your truth by your Spirit to understand how we are to respond to your word in faith. Father, I pray that you would convict us where we need to be convicted and encourage us where we need to be encouraged. For your honor and for your glory, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So James begins this passage by immediately building on what he's just said in verse 21 about receiving the word. James wants us to know what he means by receiving. He says in verse 22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. I want you to notice James's first word. He says, but. In other words, listening to God's word, what he's just talked about, is good, but it's not good enough. There's something else you'll be doing if you're truly receiving the Word of God with living, vibrant faith, and that is obeying. James is clear, to receive and to embrace the Word of God as the Word of God means that you're going to be doing it. You'll be a doer of the Word, and if you aren't doing it, James is telling us you haven't received it yet. Think about that. James is telling us here that the only scriptures that you and I have ever embraced truly by faith are the ones that we are obeying, are the ones that we are living in light of. As the old Scottish author, poet, and minister George MacDonald put it, a man's real belief is that which he lives by. What a man believes is the thing he does, not the thing he thinks. And that's exactly what James is teaching here. The only truths that you have ever believed are those not that you've heard, are those not that you've memorized, are those not that you've studied and thought about before. The only truths that you have ever truly believed are those that you are living in light of right now, the ones that have consciously changed the way you've lived. Again, think about the implications of that. I don't believe that Jesus is Lord until it changes the way I live. I don't truly believe hell is real until it changes the way I live. I don't truly believe that Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation until it changes the way I live. Hearing the Word of God is good, but it is not good enough. To be truly receiving the Word of God by living faith, I must be doing it. As James says here, be a doer of the Word. Now that word doer in the Greek is interesting. It is where we get our word poet from. And it carries with it the idea of being a creative performer. So of being someone who thoughtfully and intentionally moves through the dance of a step. Or the steps of a dance. And so whenever I hear God's Word, I'm being called on to dance. I am being called on to creatively apply God's Word to my life and intentionally respond to Him in thoughtful steps. I need to be a doer of the Word, and a believer is someone who is and who should be marked by this. The nuance of this word indicates it's a continual and a reflexive action. So just like when the doctor hits your knee with his reflex hammer, when it hits, your leg moves, so also for a believer who has living faith, when God's Word is given, they move in obedience. You dance reflexively to the footsteps of God's Word. And that's what someone with living faith habitually does. A great illustration that I thought of when I was thinking about this is King Josiah in 2 Kings 22 and 23. If you remember, back then, after a long period of really bad kings where the Word of God had been forgotten, it had been completely lost, only to be rediscovered under King Josiah's reign. And when the book of the law was read to King Josiah, we're told in chapter 22, verse 19, that his heart was tender, his soul was humbled, his clothes were torn, his eyes were weeping, but that's not all. His life was also changed, because we read in chapter 23, verses 24 through 25, moreover, Josiah put away the mediums and the necromancers and the household gods and the idols and all the abominations that were seen in the land of Judah and in Jerusalem, so that he might establish the words of the law that were written in the book that Hilkiah the priest found in the house of the Lord. Before him there was no king like him, who turned to the Lord with all of his heart and with all of his soul and with all of his might, according to all that the law of Moses was written in, nor did any like him arise after him. So God's Word was given, and what happened with King Josiah? He reflexively obeyed. His life moved. He danced in the footsteps of truth. And that's exactly what those who possess living faith do. They are doers of the Word and not hearers only. What's interesting is that that word for hearers was used in the first century to describe those who attend a lecture, to those who listen without any responsibilities to learn or to practice. The modern equivalent to this, when I was thinking about it, is someone who audits a college class. They come, they sit in, they listen to all the lectures, but they are under no sense of responsibility to learn or do anything about what that teacher is saying at all. And James is saying, don't you dare do that when God is speaking to you from his word. Don't audit the word of God. Don't sit in and listen. When God spoke the universe into existence, he spoke and something happened. When God speaks to you, something is to happen as well. Don't audit the word of God. Why? Because as James says next, if you're a hearer only, you are what? He says you're deceiving yourselves. And here's why that's so serious. The only other time that expression occurs in all of Scripture is in Colossians 2:4 when it describes leading someone away from the faith or deceiving them about their true spiritual state. So that's what happens when all you do is listen to the Word of God and aren't actively involved in trying to put it into practice in your life. You're deceiving yourself about your true spiritual state. And churches are full of these people. They think that they're fine because they're here at church, listening to God's Word on Sunday while other people are elsewhere. Surely they must be fine with God because they're regulars. Everybody knows them. They have a pew. They have a hymn book. They have a Bible. Surely they're fine. They have a good arrangement with God that makes them feel comfortable. If they miss church for a month, they'll feel rather uneasy, and so they'll be sure to come back to hear the dulcet tones of the preaching and their favorite songs. Yes, yes, surely everything is fine with people like these, right? What has that person done? They've deceived themselves. They've made a grievous spiritual miscalculation about their true spiritual state. And what is their true spiritual state? James is going to tell us later. It's this. Faith without works is what? It's dead. If you're not doing the Word of God, then you haven't received the Word of God, because those who have truly received the implanted Word, which is able to save their souls, are those who obey it. Jesus says this in Luke 6:46-48. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my word does them, and I will show you what he's like. He is like a wise man who built his house upon the rock. Don't be deceived. If you're truly confessing Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, you'll do what he tells you. Jesus says in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. And again, John says it best perhaps in 1 John 2:3-4, and by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. Whoever says I know him but does not keep his commandments is a liar and the truth is not in him. True believers put the word of God into practice, not perfectly, but characteristically. It is the testimony of their lives. They are doers of the word, not hearers only. And this is what we should be concerned about, by the way, as a church, as I finish up. Both for ourselves and for those around us, that we and our fellow members of our church be not simply hearers, but doers of God's word. Remember, part of the Great Commission in Matthew 28:19-20 is to teach them to observe all that God has commanded us. So our task in the Great Commission is not finished at evangelism. It's not finished at giving someone a Bible and even making sure that they're reading it. It's not even finished when you're getting them connected to a good, faithful church where they will hear God's word being taught. Our task is not finished until those who are sitting under the hearing of God's word and reading for themselves are actually putting it into practice in their life. As Paul says later in Romans 15:18, he would not boast in anything except what Christ has accomplished through me to bring the Gentiles to obedience by word and deed. That was the only thing that Paul boasted in. Why? Because anything less than that was less than fulfilling his ministry. His job wasn't finished until his hearers of the word became doers. And our job isn't finished either. We've got to get those around us, even in our own church, to the word, that is Christ. We've got to get them in the Word, that is the Bible. And we've got to get them living out the Word in obedience. Anything less is to do less than what God has commanded us to do. You and I are called by Christ to be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. And he'll give us some examples of that, what that looks like in a negative sense and in a positive sense later in future weeks on Wednesday nights. But for tonight, I just want to call you all back to a commitment this evening to be a doer of the Word. I want you to ask yourself this question. Can you think of a time in the last couple of weeks that you've made a decision to think, act, or speak in a certain way solely because you wanted to obey the Word of God? Are you a doer or have you become just a hearer? God's word is given to obey. I would encourage you, if your Bible reading has fallen into a rut of just hearing and no doing, to every day start keeping a journal, write down three statements that you're going to finish from your Bible reading every day. God is, God does, and I must. What does this passage say about God's character? God is. What does this passage say about God's action? God does. What does this passage say about my response to that? God is, God does, I must. Because our role as Christians is not done when we simply hear the word of God. To receive it, we must be doers. And so together, let's commit this week for the glory of God to demonstrate living faith by being doers of the word and not hearers only. Let's pray, and then I'll hand it over to Rick. Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for your word. Thank you for reminding us of this very simple truth, that though we are people who own probably multiple copies of your word, though we are people who have opportunities multiple times a week to come under the teaching of your word, though we might be even people that open up your word every single morning and read it, help us to understand, Father, the truth, the sobering truth, that we have not truly embraced by living faith any truth of your word until we have actually applied it to our lives and lived it out. So help us to search for what your word has to say for us and how we ought to respond to it this week, Father. Help us to be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving ourselves. By your grace and by your spirit, help us to do this. In Jesus' name, amen.